Welcome. You're listening to Casually Baked, the podcast, home base for the can of curious. Thanks for tuning in.
It's a hard time. We had a hard time together. Together. Yes, it's a hard time. We had a hard time together.
Hi, y'all. I'm Joe, your host and cannabis lifestyle guide. Last week was the first time in a couple of years that I didn't upload a podcast. And I will say it's not for lack of trying, although it was going to be a rerun. The lackluster Wi-Fi at my hotel in Vancouver was not cooperating. And every time I tried to upload it, I was alerted that it would only take 23 hours and 59 minutes for my upload to complete. Oh my gosh, you can only imagine. I did a fair amount of cussing and a solid job of beating myself up over it, only to finally realize when I got high that I was probably the only one who'd actually notice. After all, I know all of us are busy, and shit inevitably happens. I took the opportunity to give myself a break, something I hope we all do a little more of in this new decade. So I was in Vancouver for the Lift & Co. Expo, exploring what's new in the Canadian cannabis market for 2020. The 2.0 products are slowly trickling into the market. Edibles, drinkables, vapes, concentrates, and topicals. You know, the things us Californians are spoiled with already. That said, on your next trip to a Canadian cannabis retail store, it will be a more robust shopping experience. I carried my handheld recorder as I walked to the Vancouver Convention Center, and I stopped to chat with folks who piqued my interest. I ran into some of my favorite peeps and made new friends along the way, and I'm sharing a few of those conversations on today's podcast. So settle in, my friend. It's time to get casually baked, Canadian style.
I got the bottle of wine, the high dollar kind. I got the West Coast smoke, but...
Sean, tell me how you represent the cannabis space.
Yes, so I'm the founder of Summer Blues Optics. I started it about 3 years ago. I come from the cannabis industry. I'm a cultivator and was spending 8 hours a day in the grow rooms and started seeing dots and headaches and all sorts of things. So I reached out to eye doctors and eye surgeons and was getting a little bit more information on how damaging these grow lights could be. So I developed a product that I could use for myself in the grow room.
And what is your product called?
It's Summer Blues. We make specific lenses for grow rooms, for grow lights. So we have metal halide, HPS, and we're working on an LED lens right now.
Are you finding that people just don't know?
That's the biggest thing, is educating people. People don't really know how damaging these lights are. They don't really know the UV that's emitted from these grow lights. They emit UVA, UVB, and UVC, and they're really damaging to the eyes. It can be irreversible eye damage. So we're trying to educate growers, you know, to protect their eyes, at least wear something, even sunglasses helps. But our lenses have special color correcting polycarbonate. It takes the harsh orange spectrum away from an HPS light, so you can see your plants clearly. It's easier to detect deficiencies in your plants as well as protect your grow.
Yeah, I was shocked when I put them on, and then you look at the flowers that you have here in this display, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty neat to see that transition. Yeah.
So what are you most excited about in the Canadian cannabis market for 2020?
All the new operations starting up is really cool. Also, the four plant grows, like just the small home growers, the tent growers, and getting in with them and educating them. I like really familiar with cannabis and cultivating, so educating people on tricks and tips in their garden, as well as educate them on lights too. So I do a lot of research on these different types of lighting manufacturers and different applications for each light.
So you have Summer Blues, so you're selling the glasses.
Correct.
Through Summer Blues, do you also give these tips, or is that through another business you have?
No, it's just straight through Summer Blues right now. I recently just started working full time on it about 3 months ago. So I've had the company for, thank you very much. I'm really happy to make the jump. So I was working in grows full time as well as running the company. And we're trying to put out more media and more information on our social media platforms.
And what is your handle on social?
It's Summer Blues Optics. Yep.
Okay. At Summer Blues Optics.
Yeah, at Summer Blues Optics.
Are you on Instagram?
Yeah, and Instagram and Facebook, LinkedIn.
Right on.
Yeah, we're going to start a YouTube channel this year, too.
Very good. Yeah, this is definitely a visual thing. People need to see what you're doing.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What do you want people to know or discover?
Growers, if you spend a lot of time in a grow room, go get your eyes checked more frequently than you think, and take the proper precautions, because these lights are really damaging to your eyes. That's my shameless plug.
And that is a shameless plug to help everyone.
Absolutely. So. That's sort of our mission, is protecting growers' eyes.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I love what you're doing. And I like that, you know, you have these, like, basic blue goggles, but you've also come up with, like, really cool-looking glasses.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
The Blues Brothers style.
Yeah, glasses. For sure. And we're working on a couple other styles, too, that we'll release this year as well.
Right on. Well, I look forward to seeing, pun intended, what you got going in 2020.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much.
Uh-huh. Thanks, Sean.
So my name is Paul Opero from Life Edibles.
I love what you're doing here. Yeah. Now that we've got Cannabis 2.0 in the works, you are a manufacturing partner for people that want to do edibles. Is that correct?
Yeah, so we have our Life brand, but a lot of the focus on the company was built around the idea to be a solution provider for the different licensed producers, that cannabis LPs, etc. Right. So we will provide... We will develop, package, distribute their products under their brands that will be completely proprietary to them. We're also pushing our own brand, Life, of course. And we're going to be entering into the space in about 6 to 8 months, which is when we're going to be going through the no sugar added development, right? So that's a part of my life, right? Because when I'm in the manufacturing of the current no sugar added products. So we do want to add that to the market. We're going to be organic certified, that we're going to be vegan friendly with some items. And our chocolate is all fair trade. We're the only ones in Canada. This is a Colombian bean that we use, and that this will be proprietary to Life.
Awesome. And yeah. You know, I'm somebody that needs the low glycemic index, if you will, on my products. So I haven't really found anyone yet here in Canada that can tell me they're doing something that's low to no sugar or savory. So the product that you currently have on the market yourself that kind of led you into the space that's non-cannabis, what is that? Tell me a little bit about that.
So actually we won an award in 2019, Danny Min, our chocolatier.
You can keep, it's fine.
Yeah.
You
want to walk up? Hey, Danny. Danny, what was when our award-winning chocolate bar?
Milk quinoa.
Yeah, so milk chocolate quinoa, no sugar added. What was it sweetened with?
Stevia.
The mix. Yeah, so with stevia, that particular one, right? But we also have, what are the other sweeteners that we work with?
Erythritol.
Yeah, so we work with erythritol. We did some maltitol stuff as well in the past. We're kind of veering away from maltitol, right? Because we found different alternatives, right? So we're testing and mixing ourselves. But we were very happy, man, to win that the 2019 award, man, for the no sugar added, that no gluten product, right? So that was awesome.
And that was with Ross, you said?
Yeah, with Ross Chocolates, yeah.
Okay, well, yeah. I will keep an eye on what you're doing. Now, it's Life Edibles, but that's L-Y-F.
Yes. So stands for a few things. Love your food, live your freedom, right? So, you know, man, we just wanted to spin around that, you know. We really like the kind that life is good is one of our great tags that we like to say, right? So, you know, man, we're all about that building a culture and providing our customers with a consistent, safe dose every time.
I dig it. So if people want to find you on social media or on the web, how do they do that?
Follow us at life.edibles on Instagram and our website. I'm just the CEO, right? So I don't know all this stuff. I mean, I don't know everything. But yeah, but I think it's... what's our website?
We have two.
One.
LifeEdibles.com.
There you go. LifeEdibles.com. There you go, man. Come follow us there, man. We nailed it. We got it. We're good. Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time, Paolo.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was great.
Hi. My name is Tinashe Kanengoni. I am here with GrowFlow. And GrowFlow is here selling living soils. And what do I mean by living soils? Soils that are high in microbial matter, coming from earthworms.
And so soil health is super important, and I think a lot of people don't necessarily understand that. So do you help farmers like remediate their soil? Do you give like soil, they bring you a soil sample and you help them? How does it work?
At the current moment, we're the different levels of how we work with the grower. First, the grower can customize the soil mix based on organic, certified organic inputs, or we can work with a grower to meet their specific needs based on what they want to get out based from a living soil aspect. Or sometimes we do nutrient extracts, which are focused less on the biology, but more on the organic chemistry.
You're a soil nerd, so tell me, what's your background?
My background is really environmental studies and banking. I actually came out of banking accounting, but I was also a psychiatric nurse too.
So that's right, things
that have led me to this place of foundational earth-based. But I think I am much more of a spiritual being that sees from there more than an academic person. Seeing is my inborn lens of how you look at the world. It's all this. A science not separated with the physics, chemistry, or biology, but all of them is a key piece. Like the plant is energy, the organisms, the microorganisms, the chemistry. So it's a marriage between these three aspects as we walk, as we breathe, as we think, as chemistry, biology, physics. That's how I see it.
Yeah. You're speaking my language. I am a, yes, absolutely. And I've learned a lot living in California and by visiting farmers in the Emerald Triangle. And, you know, one of the things, regenerative farming is such an important thing. And I feel like a lot of people forget that. They focus too much on the plant once they see it above the ground, and they're not focusing on the foundation of things and what's happening below the ground.
Yeah, for me, the regenerative aspect is two aspects. There's one, how you're producing, and then what you're leaving within the soil, and then the tools you're using as microorganisms are regenerative too. And then the second part is a product that comes outside of it, becomes a regenerative because of what you're starting to do at the bottom. If it's regenerative, the product is regenerative as much as we're looking at it as a healing product. So it's so aligned that once you start regenerative at the bottom, then your practices are regenerative from plants to your thinking to everything. It's not just one part. The farmer has to also have a regenerative mind.
I appreciate that. So are your products focused for the home grower, or do you also work with commercial growers? What's your...
We started off actually from an organic agriculture and landscaping space, and now we work with commercial and individuals too. So we have an outlet retail spots. We also produce stuff that stores are keeping and selling. So we do two pathways, B2B and then also on a retail. On a B2B, it's really the customizing and the large scale distribution.
Now, are you available in all of North America, in Canada and the United States?
We could be, and we're trying. But really, so far we've been like doing BC, what else? Toronto, Ontario. Cross Canada. We can really do cross Canada.
Okay. Yeah. How do people find you if they want to look up Grow For?
Well, we're online too. There's Grow For on Twitter. There's Grow For on Facebook. Yeah.
Okay. So it's GRO, the number four, .ca.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, tell me what we're at. You know, it's January. This conference has been a lot of forecasting about what's going to happen this year. Yeah. What are you most excited about in the Canadian market in 2020?
Currently, what we're talking about, because everybody's talking about clean cannabis. And so that aligns to a need, because at the end, there's a lot of testing happening and people are not getting the results.
Yeah.
So I'm smiling. I'm like, come back. Who's got the shit? Yeah. We have it.
I appreciate that. All right, so I'm going to give you one shameless plug.
Oh, didn't I just throw it there?
I mean, hey, now I'm giving you another shot at
okay,
it.
Okay.
So what is one thing that you really want people to walk away thinking or knowing or doing a little bit different?
Most importantly, I think, is where you're starting to do your work. If you do your work with love, then you are able to see a brighter understanding from the micro, the ecosystem-based thinking and value chain. I think in this industry, there is no one company. It's a value chain. There are people who start with the genes or the seeds, and then you have the nutrients and then microbes, and then you get to the people who are then dealing with the processing, packaging, and then you get to the ones designing products for the streets and marketing. So I think we're a long value chain that really needs to learn to work together and create knowledge. I'm also moving into the data, creating data that aligns to results.
I appreciate that. You're a really smart man. I dig it. I dig it. Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for the chance. Remember, we said we're looking for social noise too, yeah?
Yeah. James, it's such a pleasure to see you again.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely, Joanna. It's great to see you as well.
So I wanted to chat with you because you and I always have nice, nerdy conversations about cannabis. And I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about like how you got here. When did this whole journey start for you?
When I was about 12 years old, I realized my sister was consuming cannabis and she was getting a nice experience out of it. And what kind of drove me towards the research side of cannabis, like since I've been enthralled with cannabis chemistry since then, it kind of pushed me to constantly be looking for the newest trends in cannabis extraction. And pleasure. So
you're a local celebrity.
Yeah, absolutely. Alberta people and BC people coming up. But so what really pushed me to go ahead and pursue the science side of cannabis was seeing my sister consume, and I decided I want to do a bunch of research into this to see if it would be something for me. And as soon as I realized that there was so many medical benefits even back then, and how people were finding a lot of solace in cannabis for, say, chemotherapy and arthritis, it kind of just allowed me to find a little groove so that I could find different products that were working for other people and finding out how I could pivot them to allow for better products and better applications so that people can consume it without smoking.
Yeah. So, you know, most people that do what you do, they go to college for a really long time and get some sort of master's or PhD. And I'm telling you, you know so much about the science and the chemistry of cannabis. And I love that you seriously took a curiosity and you've now made yourself a really big player in the Canadian cannabis market.
Well, thank you very much. Having gone through so much of this research on my own and being able to formulate my own opinions on different innovations that have come out allowed me to kind of learn it all at my own pace without the structured environment of university. And although previously it was somewhat of a sticking point with people,
the fact that you didn't have a degree?
Yeah, absolutely. Not having the piece of paper that says that I sat in a class for 4 years straight kind of off-puts people who are on the outside of the cannabis chemistry spectrum, because they need that piece of paper to be able to verify whether or not you're legitimate. But having spent so much time on my own, whenever I find myself in the company of cannabis chemists, they never seem to ask me where my piece of paper came from.
Yeah, because people that know what you know that you know what you're talking about. Right? I mean, so it's like your work and the research that you do speaks for itself. So what products are you most excited about? Like, you know, it's 2020, we've got cannabis 2.0 now, and, you know, new products are rolling out. What are you most excited to be working with right now?
Well, right now I'm most excited about the beverage market, not necessarily for the cannabis connoisseur who's looking for a boutique product that translates exactly what the flower is into the drink. It's more into the beverage alcohol side, to be able to produce something that can become a alcohol alternative is most important to me, because There's about 6% of the Canadian cannabis population that is looking into getting into cannabis beverages. But there's about 50% of people who consume beverage alcohol worldwide would be looking for an alternative.
Yeah.
And if you're able to create a water-soluble product that is able to mimic or emulate a similar onset time to alcohol, you'd be able to create a predictable experience. And I think that's going to be one of the most valuable 2.0 products coming out.
I agree. And as someone who is north of 40 years old, and I find that, you know, alcohol affects me differently as I age. And, you know, one large glass of wine can leave me feeling kind of hazy and headachy the next day. And so I am seeking out that alternative. I make mocktails at home. I'm experimenting with a lot of the beverages in California right now. And there was someone on social media the other day that was just blasting the beverage market, saying, like, nobody wants this. I messaged him back, and I'm like, I have to disagree with you. Like, I want this. There are so many people. Like, the consciousness of our planet is rising. People are becoming more intentional about the things that they do and say and the things they put into their bodies. And so I'm like you. I believe that there's huge potential for the cannabis beverage market.
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the main draws of the beverage side, is that it's accessible. You don't need to, like, bum a light from somebody. And even in that case, people who have not been smoking cannabis up until Cannabis 2.0, it's almost recommended that they don't necessarily go towards that unless they want to try an authentic cannabis experience. Because it's almost better to be a steward of the industry and going forward to get people to consume something that is not as detrimental to their health as combusting plant matter. Even though I'm a big fan of flower myself, it's because my early baptism into cannabis started with a joint, and I still enjoy a joint to this day, but almost would prefer if somebody was to consume a beverage that was had high bioavailability and tasted not necessarily like cannabis, but to get the experience.
Yeah, and certainly, and there's a lot of different technologies. The one most people are familiar with is the nano technology. But doesn't the onset happen just as fast? It's not like taking an edible. You get a faster onset, right?
It really depends on the technology. Most people boast that they're between 10 and 15 minutes of onset. And that's pretty quick in comparison to an edible. Onset for edibles is between half an hour and 2 hours. And it all depends on how a person's endocannabinoid system.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how fast they metabolize the cannabinoids and all that good stuff. But yeah, so I think that's comparable to someone having a drink at a bar. You know, you're having a cocktail, and, you know, within 15 minutes or so, you're feeling a little buzz. So, you know, to me, it's a way for cannabis consumers to be able to still participate in a happy hour that aren't necessarily interested in getting drunk.
Or standing on a balcony.
Oh my gosh, yes. With the weather here right now, and you're forced outside to smoke, totally.
Absolutely. Well, that's one of the most important things about the 2.0 products, is how much more discreet they are. And being able to consume within an area like a bar, to be able to, say, have a cannabis beverage that you brought in, or...
I have to interrupt. So there's a service dog that just walked up. And because of the way things are now, immediately my heart stops and I'm like, there's a drug dog. But then I'm like, oh, wait, I'm at a cannabis conference. That's not a real thing. Hey, buddy.
It's not a drug, it's medicine.
Yeah, the medicine dogs coming in after me, yeah. I don't think that's what they're thinking.
Making sure that we've had our medicine.
Yeah,
there you go. Absolutely.
So what are you focusing on right now? Like, when I met you, we met in Calgary, and now you are in Vancouver permanently, correct?
Absolutely. I've taken a position as head of product development with High Beverages.
Now, do you hear that, people? This is a guy who is passionate about cannabis and what it did for him and just got curious about it, dove in, has spent the better, how old are you now?
25.
Okay, so for 13 years, over half of your life, you've been curious about cannabis and doing things. And so at 25 years old, this guy is now the head of product development for a beverage company. Like, that's so cool. I'm so proud of you.
Thanks so much, Joanna.
I mean, you just, it's important for people to know, like, you don't have to fit into a certain construct. You don't have to go and get the PhD. You don't have to follow all the rules that everybody thinks you have to follow. Like, you followed your own rules, and now I really feel like this is probably your dream job.
Oh, absolutely. Being able to take what I've learned over the 13 years of intense study into this industry and being able to follow the innovations almost piece by piece, reading peer-reviewed papers and kind of like immersing myself in the education, it allowed me to, in a sense, have an edge over the people who went towards getting a bachelor's degree and then focusing into their master's and then focusing with like intense focus onto a PhD. Instead, I've been able to pull from all sorts of different areas of the market and be able to piece them together in maybe a way that a person who's been focused on one thing for 12 years wouldn't be able to see, or wouldn't be able to see it all coming together.
You have your own unique perspective on the whole thing. I really dig that. And so if you were to give some people, and our service dog loves us, he came and just squatted right in front of us. So for someone that is looking to do their homework, what are some of your favorite websites or books or publications that you might recommend?
Well, I really like Future 4200. For example, they're primarily on the extraction and post-processing side, but it's an open forum to pull from people who have been doing extraction, distillation, and all these different post-processing minded professions, and they're sharing their experiences and information. A very, very good open source community.
Okay, now tell me the URL for that again.
Future, FUTURE, 4200, 4200.com.
So .com, not .ca. Okay. All right, right on. Anything else? Do you have a shameless plug that you'd like to give us today? Anything you want people to know or be thinking about in 2020?
No plug in particular, but one of the main things that you need to know about consuming any of the products that are past flower and tinctures and soft gels, be aware of the onset time, be aware of the offset, and just know what you're consuming. Educate yourself and you'll come out on top.
High as a kite, casually baked, whatever you want, right? All right, well, what was the coolest thing that you saw today that you're interested in?
Well, probably Valens Growworks. They're just a multifaceted company focused on all sorts of different types of extraction methodologies just based on what kind of end product that you're looking towards. So I would give those guys a look.
All right. And aren't they have the testing piece to their company as well, don't they?
Absolutely. They've done a partnership with Thermo Fisher for all their HPLC and GCMS work. So it's interesting to see that segment of the market integrating with the actual extraction so that you can get almost on-demand testing. Just in terms of product development, it's a really nice piece to add.
Totally, and especially for companies who, you know, they may have their oil or concentrate tested and then it gets put into hardware and then it maybe fails. And, you know, so that was one of the things I was interested in seeing, that there are some of these testing companies now that they're not only testing the concentrate, but then they're also testing the vapor. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I mean, I think that should probably be required for vapes at this point. I don't know if it is. Do you know?
I don't 100% know, but I think that it is very important to do final product testing and be able to do that exact final product testing in the way that the consumer will use it, because that's the most important segment, is I think testing along the way for a company that is in-house testing is very important, whereas if you're just creating a finished product, it's almost more economical if you have to go through a third party exclusively to then just do the final product.
All right. Well, thanks for nerding out with me a little bit. And I look forward to seeing what you do at High Beverages. I'll see you on my next trip to Canada.
Oh, absolutely. It's always a good time with you, Joanna.
Thanks, James.
The business conference portion of the Lyft & Co. Expo included a lot of forecasting, which, you know, it's a common theme for all of us in January, or at least it should be. New Year's resolutions and annual goals are a great way to find your footing or get back on track. At the Lyft & Co. Business Conference, the focus was not only on Canadian cannabis, but also global markets. And no matter if the discussion was retail, research, or raising capital, there's one common theme that held true. Education is the driving force in creating growth and positive change. That same theme carries over to every aspect of our lives. So, how about it? 2020, it's a new decade. Get curious. Ask questions. Arm yourself with quality information. And whatever you do, stay engaged. We're still in the early days of cannabis legalization. The institutional world hasn't given our industry any resources, and we're already killing it. I mean, there are snags and road bumps and all of the above, but we're building it. It's brand new. Nothing is ever perfect. And only 7% of the global population currently uses cannabis. There is a long way to go, and we're learning new things every single day. For example, so far, over 60 phytocannabinoids have been identified. In late December 2019, researchers from Italy claimed to have discovered two new cannabinoids that I can barely pronounce. Delta-9 tetrahydrocannabiferol and cannabidiferol. Now, the Delta-9 THCP, it appears to be 30 times more potent than THC. The cannabis tested for the study was a medical strain called Italian FM2, supplied by the Military Chemical Pharmaceutical Institute in Florence, Italy. The team's study was recently published in the journal Scientific Reports and states that the new cannabinoids were discovered using a combination of liquid chromatography and high-resolution mass spectrometry. Using tests on mice, the researchers found that a dose of THCP was as active as a larger dose of THC, leading to the claim of its elevated potency. There are currently 800 active clinical trials involving cannabis, so these sorts of discoveries will continue to happen, shaping the future of plant medicine. The Italian researchers concluded that it wouldn't be surprising to see, in the near future, cannabis varieties rich in other minor phytocannabinoids. This genetic selection would enable the production of cannabis extracts rich in a specific phytocannabinoid with a characteristic pharmacological profile. That means more target-specific products for consumers. And pharma investment is coming, people, which will continue to change the game. Along the way, I invite you to lean on me and Casually Baked the podcast for your weekly dose of canna confidence. Ask your canna curious questions at casuallybaked.com to be answered on an upcoming pod. And if you're not in the middle of a social media cleanse this month, I'm at Casually Baked on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you get value out of the time we spend together, please support my efforts by becoming a podcast patron at patreon.com/casuallybaked. Another easy and free way to show love and appreciation for the work I do is to share this podcast with a friend or family member. So if you're picking up what I'm putting down, puff, puff, pass it on. We had a time together. Casually Baked, the podcast, was created, recorded, and produced by yours truly. Editing and sound design are in the capable hands of Arnav Gupta. The podcast theme music is by my highly talented friend Seth Walker. If you aren't familiar with Seth's music, you can find High Time on his album Gotta Get Back wherever you're buying your music these days. I know he didn't create High Time for me, but it sure as shit sounds like he did, right? I hope you'll tune in next time. Thanks for hanging out.